Blog Talk Radio.
Should I say welcome aboard? You're supposed to say welcome aboard at night, or is that just to say that in the morning? Anyway, hey, welcome aboard. Yeah, well, I guess it's all right. So we got to change this thing. Okay, so here it is. It's nothing like spending New Year's Eve with David and Fantasy Phil. Not what I expected. We originally made this podcast so that both my son, who's 16, you know, Mark, you know, the football guy who I'm so proud of, only because of what he has done, and, of course, Andrea, and the idea was to keep me awake, and they're both sleeping. You know, I talk about my son. One of the great things about this year for me, not just, you know, look, playing football is great and the whole deal, but he started running track for the first time, and I got to give this kid a lot of credit because what he did was he ran the 300 meters. You ever run 300 meters? Oh, baby. And all right, so he finished respectable. And then the next time out, just a couple of days ago, you know, I'm standing at the track meet, and I'm saying, okay, kid, what are you doing? He says, Dad, they got me running the 600 today. Did you ever run the 600 meters? You know what that is? That's like running five football fields at full blast. So, I mean, he didn't win. Actually came in last. But, he kept in contact with the pack and came over to me, draped his arms around me with a smile on his face and said, I will never do that again. So there you go. So Fantasy Phil, who fell asleep at 7 o'clock, and David, who is here reading Ron Chandler's book, boy, oh, boy, the Three Musketeers right here on New Year's Eve. And I didn't really expect to do a full show, whatever you want. It's not a show. This is like a it's an unintellectual fit is what it is. But I'm here. We'll be here for a couple of minutes, and then I'll let you guys go. Not that you wouldn't go without my permission anyway, okay? Yeah, that's what I'm saying, David. He finished. And all right, finished last, and that's fine. You know, look, he's only doing track just to increase the speed for football, and but he finished. You know, the point is that he entered the race knowing that he could have really embarrassed himself. I mean, you know, one of those, half the track back stragglers who could hardly make it home. Well, that was a definite possibility. And for a kid to understand that there's a possibility that he could be totally embarrassed and still continue. Not only did he run the 600 meters, but he never even practiced it in practice. So I got to talk to the coach about that. So next thing you know, they'll tell him, all right, here's a stick. Go do the pole vault, all right? That's what they'll tell next time. So I'm not too sure if that's going to happen or not. Nothing. And then, of course, today, look, for the last 3 weeks, and we talked about this before, last 3 weeks we've talked about three ball players. We've talked about Todd Frazier. We've talked about Daniel Murphy. And then, of course, we talked about Scott Kazmir, who signed the other day. And Kenta Maeda signs today. Now, talking to Tim McLeod, he tells me Kenta Maeda is just awful. This guy is not going to be any good. So the Dodgers, of course, going with five starting pitchers. And as David pointed out, you know, I was talking to David in the chat room the other day. David, we were talking about the White Sox and the fact that they have four left-handed pitchers. And, Kenta Maeda, a number four starting pitcher at best. Not a lot of – he just doesn't walk a lot of batters. That's what he does. Now, here's the interesting thing, and I'll leave it to you two guys to come up with this one. When was the last time – when was the only time that there was a rotation that had left-handers make 100 starts on a team that won the title, okay? When was the last time a rotation in the history of baseball had left-handers make at least 100 starts on a team that won the championship? Anybody know that? Come on, first one. All you got to do is get the first one, all right? Get one out of three. How's that? One out of three. They had three starters. They didn't have four. They had three. They three lefties made over 100 starts. And speaking of Tim, Tim, we were just talking about you. That's right. Just talking about you and the Kenta Maeda signing. The Dodgers now get their right-handed pitcher. And you're right, David. It was with Sandy Koufax. I can't believe that there are three freaking people in here on a New Year's Eve. This is unheard of. All right? This is really pretty good. I didn't expect to be here for more than 5 minutes. But anyway, it was 1965. Sandy Koufax, Johnny Padres, okay? And who could come up with the third one, all right? Who could come up with the third one? Sandy Koufax, Johnny Padres, and I'll give you the guy's initials. We're talking about the Dodger team in 1965, who had over 100 starts by left-handed pitchers and won the title. The initials were the pitcher's initials. I gave you Sandy Koufax. I gave you Johnny Padres, and the next pitcher's initials are C.O. C.O. This is a good one. C.O. That's the next one. So it's going to be interesting to see if any of you guys can. C.O. Dodgers, 1965. Don't look it up, okay? Don't look it up. So with so many things that have occurred this season, Don Drysdale is C.O. All right, so obviously it's getting close to midnight on New Year's Eve, and there's one person in here who's already kind of drunk, okay? C.O. No, it wasn't Drysdale. It wasn't Don Drysdale. This we're talking about lefties, Tim. Lefties, okay? no price for you. We're talking about the team that had lefties pitch over 100 starts in a season and still win the title. So Drysdale, of course, big number 53. Big right-hander, of course, who, I don't know if you know the story of Drysdale and Koufax. This was before the union was so powerful, but Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax, Brian Cramp. Wasn't there a Brian Camp? No, I'll give you that. I'll give you the answer in a second. Drysdale and Koufax went into the Dodger front office to sign their contracts together and negotiate together. They said, we're a team. We're a team. You don't sign one of us, you're not signing either one of us. I wonder if they use that tactic today, if that would be any good. Okay, so I gave you Sandy Koufax. I gave you Johnny Padres. And the third pitcher that pitched over 100 innings, that helped pitch over 100 innings, was Claude Osteen. That's right. Claude Osteen was the third Dodger pitcher that season to pitch 100 innings. So, interesting there. All right, so what did we do this, to wrap up the year? Andrea was supposed to be here, and I got to give her a lot of credit. She had a good year, man. Being the first female invited into Tout Wars, when Chandler and my partner Irwin's Willing and Ron Chandler and myself, when we started Tout Wars, it was back in the, had to be in the mid-90s. Yeah, it was the mid-90s. And the reason we started Tout Wars was we were flying out to Arizona for labor every year. We go to Arizona, went to Washington a couple of times, Washington, D.C., and it was all at our own expense. We'd either drive there if it was fairly close, or we'd fly. I remember a couple of times Erwin and I flew out to Arizona, the expense of the plane, the expense of the hotel, the whole deal. And even when it was time, they never even served us a pizza, nothing. And then they decided that we all had to chip in for the auctioneer. And the auctioneer was somebody employed by the USA Today. And that set us off. It was really not good. We were not happy, and everybody was complaining. All we did was, it was the biggest issue, and probably still is, 33-page pullout section in the USA Today with our pictures in it and the lineups that we picked. So one year we were going to have it in Washington, D.C. So Erwin and I drive there. And I don't know if you know about the state of Washington, about the Washington, D.C. It's like a loop, and you drive around in a circle. And we were supposed to get off at exit one. Instead, we got off the other exit. We got off exit 100, and we had to go all the way around. We made frantic calls to the hotel, and when we got there, we discovered the hotel gave us the wrong directions. So we walk in after being on the phone with the hotel, trying to find the stupid place, and they say no charge. No charge. This is pretty funny. No charge, okay? So they didn't charge me and Irwin for our hotel. And we kept our mouths shut. We didn't want to tell anybody. We weren't, boasting about what happened, probably our stupidity. But what happened was that nobody was charged. Everybody was told that they were comped. Now, we all go, and nobody said anything to each other. This is true. We were all comped, and nobody said anything to each other, so nobody knew it. So we get to home after the weekend of and we get a call from John Hunt, furious. If you don't pay your bill for the hotel, it was a mistake. If you don't pay your bill, you're out. That's it. But it was very rude, to say the least, and very nasty. So what happened was that I called Irwin. I said, "This is ridiculous, man." And that's how Towel Wars got started. And we started our own league, and that's when I dropped out because we were told no charge for the hotel. It was a mistake, and Hunt was on the line because he blew it. He made an error. But it was just the way he handled it. We all were going to pay, but just the way he handled it, if you don't have your money in by 5 o'clock, whatever, he was pretty nasty about it. And it was a whole big fight. And we all paid, but a lot of us dropped out. And that was the last year I was in Towel Wars. And then 18 years later, and then we wound up winning. Irwin and I won labor twice, and then I think 75 and 70, not the 70, 95 and 96, if I'm not mistaken. And then we started Towel Wars. We won Towel Wars, and then 18 years later, I won Towel Wars again. So how about that for longevity? So will we go to Towel Wars again this year? It remains to be, I don't know. Towel Wars and Labor, I think I may just hang them up this year. I know Tim, a big Towel Wars guy who does pretty well. So we'll see what happens with all this DFS stuff and everything else. I wonder what the format's going to be. But Andrea was invited to Towel Wars, the first female, along with Stefania Bell. So, I wouldn't have put, we paid and we dropped out. I mean, we did expect to pay, Tim, and we, not to stiff anybody, a mistake is a mistake. So we paid our bill, and then we decided to just take off and start our own league. And the first Towel Wars League was pretty good. We had it at the All-Star Cafe in Manhattan. Billy Sample, if you know who Billy Sample is, he was a guest speaker. Ann Liguori was a speaker. She's very big in tennis and golf, does a lot of sports interview shows. And we had about 500 people. 500 people standing there. What I'm trying to get them to do, what I'm trying to get them to do is open up Towel Wars or Labor. Open it up like the NFL draft. Have people cheering, yelling out picks. Have people booing. Have people cheering and stuff like that. And and that's what we'll do. So David has David. I think you should send Andy and give a Christmas bonus next year to the best writer contributor to join your draft for Tout. Well, I got to tell you something. I don't know. We'll see what happens. They're talking about having Towel Wars in a different city now, so who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Yeah, one of these days you definitely will make it to New York for the weekend. And Fantasy Phil, when Towel Wars is in New York this weekend, come on down, all right? Take a look, and you'll see what the industry is made of. And all your doubts about the nutty stuff that's going on will be cleared. So, all right, so the Dodgers get Kenta Maeda now, okay? We all agree that he's not a very good pitcher. I just got a feeling, man, I'm getting that feeling that Alex Wood's coming to the Yankees. I'm telling you, I'm getting that feeling that Alex Wood and that the Yankees aren't done yet. I think the Yankees aren't done. I know the Dodgers aren't done. I know the Dodgers still want that relief pitcher, and I will say, and I brought this up on the chat room the other day, but based upon Maeda, now that gives them six starting pitchers. And I wouldn't be shocked if Alex Wood and that kid Montos, all right, Frankie Montos, the hard-throwing lefty, who some of us think is going to be an in-game pitcher, hard-throwing in-game pitcher, Montos and Alex Wood for Andrew Miller, okay? And then there's some thought about Yasiel Puig as almost addition by subtraction. Now, when you say you don't agree, I really think as well, keeping the three relief pitchers is the way I would do it. And if you remember, Tim, last year I campaigned big time for the Yankees to get Papelbon. Yeah, I wanted the Yankees. I really think, and I thought last year, that if the Yankees got Papelbon and Chase Utley, that it would really do them well. And they failed to do it, and this year they come up with with that pitcher now. But something tells me that I'm just trying to, the vibrations I get from the Dodgers is that they're gonna trade one of those left-handed pitchers, and I would not be shocked if it comes over to the Yankees. So what do we got? We got about 13 minutes left before the big new year. Anybody got a resolution? Okay. Anybody got a fantasy sports resolution or a resolution? I will tell you, if I'm making one resolution this year, I've discovered something since I started the website, and once again with Phil and Tim and David, you've all been such big helps for me on the website and the podcast. But I'll tell you one thing: I'm starting to fade away from fantasy sports and becoming just a baseball fan again. Becoming a Met fan again. I mean, big-time Met fan, and even go to some games. One of the reasons I don't go to games is that, Tim comes up with, Tim made his resolutions. I came up with my resolutions today, but not nearly as clever as Tim, because Tim came up with baseball resolutions. You see, my resolutions were a little different. All right, my resolutions, if you haven't seen them, I'll tell you what they are because they're pretty unique. My first resolution is to have at least one person say to me that he thinks that I should put on a couple of pounds. My next resolution is I'm 68 years old, and I have never won a Rookie of the Year award. I am determined this year to win my first Rookie of the Year award. I have no idea in what, but I want to win a Rookie of the Year award. My third resolution is I will not sell myself short. All right, now that's an inside joke, okay? And I think David's the only one who may not know that. The fourth resolution, and I've believed this for a long time, is that I would like to have one of my favorite players that I root for finally root for me. See, I've never had that experience. And, of course, my fifth resolution is I would like to continue to wonder if all's well that ends well. So those are my five resolutions, and if you read between the lines, you'll understand them, okay? But there you go. So let's see, what are we talking about? Talk about the Giants. Giants, by the way, my father was always a Giant fan. I applied when I was a little kid to be bat boy for the Giants one time. I think when I grew up in New York, we had the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Yankees, and you actually made your friends based upon what team they root for. And I will tell you something. There were not a lot of Giant fans, mostly Yankee fans and mostly Brooklyn Dodger fans, but that's the way it is. So at any event, I expected Andrea and my son Mark to keep me awake. They have failed to do so, and they are sleeping. I would like to probably try to wake them up and wish them a Happy New Year. I may wind up doing it. Listen, you three guys who've come into the chat room, a sincere thank you. I didn't expect you to be here. I didn't expect anybody to be here. Let me give a shout-out to Michael Johnson because he was trying to make it in. He's with his kids, and I will tell you, he's got a lovely bunch of girls, and I will tell you, I would like to say hello personally to Addison and to Jada and to Asia. So Addison, all the three A's. Addison, Jada, and Asia. Your daddy, Michael, nice guy, great guy, and Happy New Year to you all. Okay, so on behalf of Andrea, who is probably, that's it for her, and my son, I thought he would be up with me. But it looks like I'm going to make it. The Twilight Zone Marathon continues. But my favorite Rod Serling Twilight was when they were burying the guy alive. Did you ever see that one, David, when they – I forget who the star of the show was, but they were actually burying the guy alive. The only time I ever watched the marathon – of the old shows was the show of what's the name of the crazy show? The Gong Show. The Gong Show had a marathon, just one Gong Show after another with Chuck Barris and the comedian, right? The unknown comic and all that stuff. Yeah, I actually watched a the Gong Show marathon. So David has heard of that, right? Tim's watching the big man. I think Phil fell asleep again, but that's okay. All right, listen, guys. I actually saw two episodes today. I never saw. You know what? I get that. When I watch Seinfeld, and I watch Seinfeld all the time, every once in a while, I see an episode that I've never seen. It's freaking incredible. You know? It's really pretty good. So we'll see about that. All right, look, guys, hopefully this year is good for I know it's going to be great for Fantasy Phil. there he is. Fantasy Phil's going to – I know Tim is all set to go, doing a lot of writing this year, Tim, right? Sounds better than it is, Tim. Now people are expecting you to do it. It's really funny, and it's really something that, you know, when you talk about, like, Corey Seager and all these second-year players, when you come up and nobody expects anything of you, it's easy. All of a sudden, you know, Tim McLeod threw out a couple of musings last year. Everybody loved it. And now we're waiting for it to for Tim to start them again, and now he's under the pressure. When you were doing them last year, Tim, and nobody expected anything, it was easy. Now you got a whole, we got 100 people or so waiting for your musings to come out, and I'll tell you something, it's forget about it. There's a lot of pressure on you, Tim, so go ahead. As far as David goes, look, it's not going to be a good year for David in baseball. Cincinnati, and I wrote something today up on the website about the National League. Cincinnati will probably be the worst team in Major League Baseball this year. Now, David, do you agree with that? I mean, could it be possible that the Reds, the big red machine, and also the question about, now David has Joey Votto for $41 and wanted to know if there was any chance of keeping a $41, I don't care if it's $1 million league. Joey Votto, you know how Freddie Freeman was in the Atlanta lineup? Where are you going to get the RBIs from a player who can't even drive in 100 runs when he's got a good lineup about him? Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Joey Votto gets like 700 official at-bats or plate appearances and has walked 350 times. I mean, he'll take a lot of walks anyway. Votto's in for a long haul. So many people, it seems odd, But in a lot of cases, you know, in a keeper league, even if you have him at a terrific price, no matter what, he had a great year. People are really, you know, he's like an automatic non-keeper. He's an automatic drop. And, of course, Cincinnati last year, they used rookies in the last 2 months of the season. Now they picked up 11 players in the offseason that will, each one of these guys will probably make an appearance at some point during the year. So you got to give them some credit for that. But it's going to be a long haul out there in Cincinnati. And I'll tell you something. I was listening to MLB. Here's a sign of things to come. I was listening to MLB Radio a couple of days ago, and I was waiting for Marty Brenneman to come on as a guest, and he didn't show up. So they said, well, looks like no Marty Brenneman this morning. We'll try to get Marty on at another time. And I was sitting there laughing. I said, uh-oh, Marty Brenneman, one of the real greats. Marty Brenneman did broadcast with Joe Nuxall and all that stuff. But I got to tell you something. When Marty Brenneman doesn't show up for an interview or a segment, crazy. Speaking of segments, now here it is, New Year's Eve. And I have my computer on all the time. I got generally the Facebook page is up there. And I'm sitting around. I had some people here and all. We're watching TV, the whole deal, whatever we're doing. And at about 8:30, 9 o'clock, I look at my computer and there's a message. Right? There's a message from Corey Parsons over at the Sirius. He wants me to come on tomorrow at 7:30. Now, it's not my regular spot, which I don't even have anymore, and that's something to be said. But not only do I have a regular spot, but, you know, lately I've been on quite a bit, and, you know, I don't have any problem with that. I love going on. But he tells me 8:30 on New Year's Eve that he wants me on tomorrow morning at 7:30, like me to come on. And quite frankly, I haven't answered them yet because if I don't usually sleep past 6 o'clock. I just can't do it. And, of course, David, who usually is up, he usually goes to sleep at 6 o'clock. Anyway, enough of this. Two more minutes to go, and it's 2016. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, David, for all you've done for me during the course of the year. And, Tim, next year we drive to Arizona. We're not taking that shortcut that takes us on that two-lane highway. This year, we saw, at 2 o'clock in the morning, Tim, I told you the story, a trucker warned us about driving on that road at night because of the elk. And I'm telling you, it was Bigfoot, right? And we saw, and all you could see was their eyes shining. How long before Drury takes the job, okay? Takes the job where? Anyway, Happy New Year, guys. 2 minutes to go. Go do what I'm going to do. I'm going to kiss my pillow. And we'll see you all again on Monday coming up. Happy New Year, everybody.